Now, in the aftermath of the killing of Charlie Kirk, the US conservative activist who was shot and killed while speaking at a university event in Utah on Wednesday, the US president and his advisors have escalated their attacks on left-wing opponents. Donald Trump blamed the radical left for the shooting even before a suspect was identified. His deputy chief of staff, Stephen Miller, posted that America's fate hinged on the defeat of a liberal ideology that was envious, malicious and soulless, that leads always, inevitably and willfully to violence against those who uphold order. Doyle McManus is a contributing writer with the LA Times and is based in Washington, D.C. Doyle, good afternoon. Welcome to the programme. Thanks for speaking with us today.
Good day to you.
What's the atmosphere like right now in the United States in the aftermath of Charlie Kirk's killing?
Well, American politics feels very fragile at the moment, largely because of the kind of civil war rhetoric that you're hearing from President Trump and his allies and his own aides in the White House. After an incident like this, the traditional role for any president of either party is to act as a unifier, a comforter, a healer. And Donald Trump has chosen the opposite tack. He's chosen to weaponize the incident to argue that his side is under attack by dangerous leftists who include a vast array of the Democratic Party figures, and in effect to escalate a conflict that is there but needn't be escalated.
And so do you think then that the killing of Charlie Kirk is going to provide a new impetus for the Trump administration to crack down on critics and people who have a left-leaning political viewpoint?
I think it already has. I wouldn't use the word impetus. I'd use the word excuse or justification. The president is trying to characterize this incident, which may have nothing to do with the left at all, let's remember. We don't know what the motivation was of the shooter. The president has deliberately set out to characterize this as evidence of asymmetric warfare against decent Americans by people he calls radical leftists, and then his political counselor, Stephen Miller, goes on to say, and those radical leftists essentially constitute the whole of the Democratic Party.
How much concern is there now that we could see further political violence in the aftermath of Charlie Kirk's killing?
That's always a concern. Even if it's not ideological, the psychiatrists will tell us that there is always a higher danger of copycat violence after an incident like this. But you now have a spiral, or a potential spiral, in which each side believes it is under violent attack by the other, or professes to believe that, and encourages or justifies violence on its own side. And there are, I shouldn't call them lonely voices, but they're less not as loud as the president's. There are voices in both parties. The most eloquent was Spencer Cox, the conservative Republican governor of Utah, who gave two wonderful speeches calling on Americans to join, to seek the better angels of their nature, an old Abraham Lincoln phrase. Spencer Cox was playing the traditional role of a president of the United States, but he's only the governor of Utah.
We've seen Donald Trump use fairly spurious rationale in recent times for using emergency powers around immigration and to deal with crime and so on in the Capitol and in Chicago. What do you think his next steps are going to be in the aftermath now of Charlie Kirk's killing?
I think he and Stephen Miller have already signaled that. In effect, the pattern has been on immigration and crime that they find a small legal authority that they have. In the case of immigration, they have the authority to deport criminals. In the case of crime, they have the authority to react in the case of an emergency in narrow circumstances. They implement that, and then they expand the category of targets. So, for example, they have focused on the contributors, the billionaires who donate money to the Democratic Party, especially George Soros, the financier who's been a Republican target for a long time. Well, if they find a shred of justification for opening investigations of George Soros on his taxes, on his business actions, on anything else, they can tie up Mr. Soros for years and years with spurious investigations, and that's very easy to do. I would expect that to turn into a pattern.
Doyle, thank you very much for speaking with us today. That's Doyle McManus, contributing writer with the LA Times.